You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Just so you know the story probably, Moses has had to flee from his place in Egypt. Do you remember this? Mm-hmm. Chapter 2. Because he knew he had a call from God, but he tried to function in it too soon. And he tried to function in it in his own strength. And he tried to function in it, be motivated in it by his own emotion. And these are dangers that all of us face when we carry a call from God in our lives, which we all do in some way. Is that we can function in it prematurely. We can function it in our own strength, or we can be motivated in it in our own emotions. Of course, the other option is, we can wait too long. So, but for Moses, he had to run, and he spent 40 years in Midian, going around in circles. Imagine his route as a shepherd. These were wandering shepherds. He probably had a circular route he went each season. And so he'd done this route for 40 years now. And then one day he's going around the route with a pack of sheep, whatever you call them, herd. What do you call sheep? Flock, that's the word. A flock of sheep. And suddenly, there's this tree on fire that wasn't on fire before. And he takes his shoes off. He goes to have a look, and God says, "Take your shoes off, Moses, because I have showed up on this spot." And God meets him there. And so we come to that story, and let's read actually from verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, thank you, and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Do you know what? Do you know that there are many Moseses out there? This isn't my talk, but I'm saying it. Do you know there are many Moseses out there? Moseses and Mosesesses. There are people who have had and have a call of God on their lives, but somewhere it got blown. And now they're going round in circles. God wants, is about to, and you need to pray for it, to appear to them in various burning bush forms. Because they have to come back for this great revival. And in fact, the people in Egypt were crying out. Let's say they were crying out for revival. They were crying out for God to move. And God couldn't move until Moses came back. Do you understand that? We could have chosen a different way, but it wasn't his choice. He needed Moses to come back before he could keep going with the story. And I believe there are people in our cities and towns and in the nations who, there are many, who had a call and it blew somehow. And for what God's about to do to really happen, they have to come back in. And so, we pray in the light of the things God's stirring this afternoon, we pray for all of those out here today that have experienced and encountered Jesus at some time, Maybe they were senior leaders. Maybe they just they were worship leaders. Maybe they just encountered something God spoke into their life. Maybe they had prophetic words over them. And something went wrong. And they are on pause, on hold. Lord, we ask you to break that hold. Turn them off pause. Meet them with fire. And call them back in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, verse 5, he said, do not come near this place. Take your sandals off your feet. The place where you stand is holy ground. He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, surely seen, and I have heard their cry because of the taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. This will be a sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent you. God's name is I am. That's about identity. God knows who he is. God knows his I am. In fact, he doesn't actually need any more added on to it. Except I am what I am. But his whole identity as God is found in these little words, I am. And our challenge in many of the things that we've been talking about, and in ministry, and in fulfilling callings, and in operating in spiritual gifts, is that we don't actually know who we are. We know, we believe something else. Moses asks the question, who am I? Before God tells him his name is I am, Moses says, who am I? Who am I to go to Egypt? Who am I to go back to that place I ran from? Who am I? I mean, imagine it. I just forgot. It's taken me 4 years to forget the trauma, Lord. And God says, go back. And he says, who am I? Who do you think I am, Lord? Because his perception of himself is not the same perception as God has of him. His perceived identity caused him to hold back. Who did he think he was? What words would he have used? Failed deliverer. I am the guy who blew it. I am the guy who killed someone. I'm a murderer. Or I'm an ex-prince. I'm an ex-military general for the Egyptians, but it's ex. I'm an Israelite. I'm an Egyptian. I'm a failure. I'm just a shepherd now. I'm a Midianite now. I'm the guy who goes around in circles. I'm the guy who's just got a bunch of sheep whinging behind them. What do you think he thought? What would you say in his situation? His identity, his perceived identity, determined where he could go and what he could do. At that point, he didn't have it to go back to Egypt because of his belief about who he was. This is really important. Because God, as he heals our hearts, wants to get to our identity. Jesus knew who he was. And because he knew who he was, he could walk through things, remain secure in the battles, answer the opposition wisely, and keep functioning in his ministry, even when people were trying to take him out. Who am I? Who are you? Who are we? We let so many things define us. If we think of the cycle of the broken heart, I haven't got it up again now, but if you think of it, you know, we can let our wounds define us. The wounded heart, yeah? I am the one who got abused. I am traumatized. I am hurting. I am rejecting. I'm afraid. I'm in pain, so I'm just hiding in a corner. I'm rejected. I'm lonely. We could let our wounds define us and create our identity. Or we could go round to the next one. I'm the angry one. I'm Mr. Angry. Do you remember those Mr. men?
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Angry. I'm proud. I'm self-sufficient. You know, so many people are defined by these. You'll hear it coming out of their words. Or we could go around to the other one. I am... I am my habits. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an addict. I'm a porn addict. I'm a workaholic. I'm a meeting junkie. The things that define us are so often elements about us, but they're not really who we are. Yeah? And the interesting thing with Moses is that he had to get a revelation of who God was, but then he had to get a revelation of who he was in order to fulfill the call. First, he had to find out God was, I am who I say I am, and I'm going to do this. But second, he had to find out who he was and reconnect with what had been put on his life before. Now, for Moses, in order to get there, he had to have a few baby steps. And sometimes God will give us baby steps to get back into our calling. So he sent him his brother, Aaron. You remember that? Aaron was not God's choice of deliverer. Aaron was God's choice of priest. But he had to let Aaron be a companion of Moses in delivering the people, because Moses hadn't yet learned who he was. Do you get that? Do you understand that? And sometimes we need brothers and sisters to come alongside us and help us know who we are. We need those who come alongside and they walk us through our identity so that we can fulfill our destiny. Your identity determines your destiny. We see it so often in the scripture. And the devil reinforces that cycle of the broken heart. And he pushes the button that I'm just the wounded person. I'm just the rejected one. I'm just the angry one. I'm just the one who can't sit still. I'm just the addict. And if we believe that about ourselves, we will not enter the things that God has called us to. Do you understand this? Mm-hmm. Yeah? And even while I'm talking, I want you to identify the lies that are framing a false identity about you. And often they're based on our bad experiences. But as we said yesterday, we get a wound, and into the wound, the enemy sows a lie. Okay, so I have a problem with something because I've got hurt, but then the enemy comes along and says, this is who you are. Okay, and we believe that we have become that because we sinned, or we've become that because we got hurt. I want to say to you, that is not who you are. And God wants to renew our hearts and heal us from false identity beliefs. Yeah. Some of us have tried things in the past and they didn't work. And we said, I'm never going back there. I'm not going back to be an evangelist. I'm not going back to whatever. We've had some bad experiences. But Jesus is calling us back. And we often define who we are by what we do. Yeah? By our role. I am a teacher. I'm a doctor. I'm a builder. I am a mum. I'm a dad. And we define our identity by a role we are currently in, or a role that we are trained for. But that's not your identity, that's your occupation. Do you understand the difference? God is calling out the real you at this time. God is calling to put faith in the real. He says, who are you? And we tend to reply with what we are. That's what I do, rather than our real identity. Isn't that how we are when we meet people? Hi, what's your name? What do you do? That's how we identify their identity, by their role. So if someone doesn't have what is a acceptable or high profile, high status role, then they get put in a different pecking order based on what they do, but that is not their identity. Okay, and we've got, in these days, we've got to be like Jesus and call our identity. We've got to see with his eyes other people and see our own lives as to the real who we are. Identity isn't first about what you are, but who you are. What is secondary? It's your mission, okay? I need to know who in order to determine what. Moses needed to know who he was so that he could go back to doing what he was. Yeah, do you get that? Mm-hmm. Up to that point, Moses now is, I'm a shepherd. I'm a failed pastor. I'm a failed deliverer. I'm a failed leader. And I am just a shepherd. And we become comfortable in a false identity. But he has to go back to who he really is in order for him to do what he's really meant to do. Yeah. If he stays believing he's a failed leader, he won't go back to leading. Yeah. If he stays believing he's just a shepherd of sheep, he won't go back to shepherding the people. His ability to do what he's called comes from knowing who he is. And I want to say to you, the devil challenges us on this more than anything. He gets us to believe lies about who we are based on our education, our status, our finances, our perceived successes and failures, or the perceived successes and failures of others about us. Words that have replayed through our childhood and our early years. Words about ourselves that have defined us. God is wanting to break them off you today. To break them off our lives. It's exciting, people. I know it's after lunch, but it's exciting. It's glory. If our identity is in what, then if we lose the what, we lose all orientation. But if it's in who I am, then no changes of circumstance can alter my deep inner voice. My identity is vital.
Can you go back?
Can I go back? Right? Okay. God's plan for your life, God's plans for your life are based on how he sees you, your true identity, not how you see yourself right now. Okay? This little pussycat has got a different shadow. Yeah? You see that? Which do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see the little cat or a roaring lion? Because God sees one thing, but life circumstances, other people's confessions, and the devil's persistent assault on our senses causes us to believe we are something different to who God has called us to be. And I want to say today, God is waking up identity in this room. God is waking you up to who you really are. Some of you, I mean, listen, Moses was 80 years old at this point.
Praise the Lord.
80. He'd blown it when he was 40. He was 80. And now, God is reminding him of who he really is. So the next 40 years will be lived out according to his real identity. Come on. Don't you love it when he gets his real identity back at 80? It says, God doesn't think the same as we do.
Come on.
God never lost sight of who Moses was. It was Moses that lost sight of who he was. Oh, Lord. To enter those plans fully, you have to see yourself the same way as he does. And he wants to open our eyes. And as he heals our hearts, part of what happens is he starts to show us who we really are. Not some hyped up imagination, but what he had in his heart before you were born. He had to say to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, you know, before you were born, I knew you. I called you. I sanctified you as a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah says, I'm too young. That was his identity at that point. I'm just a young guy. And God said, don't even say it. Don't even say it. Don't even undermine what I've called you to by speaking something opposite. You will go where I want you to go. And so we have these things where we encounter God and he reconnects us, realigns us with who we really are. That doesn't quite fit in the identity. Okay. Must have changed the font at some point. We've heard of identity crisis, yeah? People go through an identity crisis. But we can have it spiritually. It's a period of life where, particularly when you become a young adult, or maybe you start to enter midlife, or enter later years. When you, because your view of who you are has been created and sustained by your environment and your job, when those things start to change, you start to change the way you think, you start to change what you think you are. But God, and into that becomes confusion. I'm not that anymore. But you see, God doesn't do that. He doesn't change you according to circumstances. He doesn't disqualify you for too young, and he doesn't disqualify you for too old. He doesn't disqualify you for too poor, and he doesn't disqualify you for too rich. He doesn't disqualify you because of your nationality, your status, your education. None of these things define you. It's what does he say that I am? Jesus asks the question to Peter. He says, Peter, who do people say I am? Because my understanding of your identity will either allow you or disallow you from being what God wants you to be in my life.
Can you say that again?
My view of your identity, what I think you are, will either allow you to be what God's called you to in my life, or not allow you. So Jesus says to them, who do people say I am? Why does he need to know that? Because the ones that know who he really is are the ones who get who he really is, who will receive who he really is. You understand that? But the ones who don't know who he really is, they won't get who he really is. So he says, some of them say you're Elijah. Well, then they'll get a prophetic word. Some of them say you're, you know, whatever, one of the other prophets. Well, they'll get that guy. But I know, says Peter, you are Messiah. Peter knows Jesus' identity. So Peter is going to get the fruit of Jesus' identity. Yeah, the others aren't. And so our revelation of identity is critical. Familiarity in a church robs us. How many times do we say, oh, it's only so-and-so? Have you ever said that? Oh, it's only Karis. No, it's Oh, I just say that because it's my sister. Yeah. I don't mean it, but it's only Sharon. It's only. Don't we say that sometimes? Oh, it's only. No, it's Karis.
Come on.
It's Sharon. God cheers. But we, because we're familiar and you know, maybe someone's let us down, or we're familiar with their quirky ways or their habits, or we're familiar with what they do and don't do. We assess their identity on those things. And Jesus does not assess that. And I know Sharon's going to talk a bit more about that in a minute. So, we can have identity crisis, we can have identity theft and identity fraud. The devil does it to us. Okay? Identity theft is when your personal details are stolen. You know, the devil wants to steal your personal details. And identity fraud is when those details are used to steal from you. And he wants to take your inheritance and take what God's given you by stealing from you who you really are. Okay? And we're not going to have this. We're taking it back. Amen? Good. Glad you're in agreement. I'm going to ask Sharon to come and just share a little bit. Is that all right? You ready?
Yeah.
We don't need a break. Do we need a break yet?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about a person in the Bible who had an identity crisis, and his name is Jabez. So if we just turn to 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, there's only two verses about Jabez, but it says a lot. It says, "Now Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." His name meant pain. Okay? And before, in the first eight verses of this chapter, there's a lot of names. And recently, I mean, I skip through a lot of the names when I read them, because I think, I don't need to read all those names. So-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. But actually, God pulled me up on it, and he said, every name is important in the Bible. And so I read the names now. They might not mean much to me because I don't know them, but they're important to God.
Yeah.
And every one of your names is important to God.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, can you imagine? I guess Jabez was called Pain because probably his mother, when she gave birth, was in a lot of pain. It says she bore him in pain. Can you imagine him being called every day? "Come here, Pain. Eat your food, Pain. Work harder, Pain. Go to bed, Pain." Okay? And you know, maybe he grew up thinking he just caused pain. Mm. I think he did, actually.
Mm.
And, you know, in the Bible, God changed a lot of people's names.
Mm.
Like Abraham. Abraham went to, he was called Abraham.
Yeah.
Abram means exalted father. But Abraham means father of many nations. And you know, Sarai, God changed her name to Sarah. Simon was called Peter. And Saul was called Paul. So God changed their identities, their names. So Jabez, this was his identity, pain. But he was more honourable than his brothers, it says. And he, I guess, probably was the only one to call out to God. Maybe they were okay without God, because life was easier for them. But he cried out to God. And his prayer was that God would bless him indeed, that God would enlarge his border, his territory, that God's hand would be with him, and that God would keep him from evil, that he might not cause pain. So he cried out to the Lord with boldness, and he prayed with urgency and vulnerability. He didn't accept what he was called. He pushed through in God to receive his real identity as God the Father truly saw him, which was not as a pain, but as a blessing. So who's given you your identity? People can put identity onto us. Or we can put them on ourselves. When I was at school, there were two times I remember, in primary school, I went to the needlework teacher and there was something I couldn't do. So I went up to her at the front of the class and asked her how to do this thing. But she got angry with me, okay, and she went on and on. And I went and sat down. Then, in my senior school, we were learning typing teacher. And he was a man, and he said something, and I didn't hear him. So I said, "Excuse me, what was it you said?" And he whacked me around the head. Okay. He did apologise afterwards, after the lesson, but anyway. So what did that make me think? It made me think, I can't ask questions because people will get cross with me. Or I can't contribute anything. Okay. And I grew up thinking that all for many, many years. And even now, I have to pray about it. Because I grew up thinking, I'm no good. Okay, I put that identity on myself. I'm no good. I can't find out anything. I don't know anything. And I can't contribute. And even to this day, I have to deal with that. I have to see myself how God sees me, not how I think I am. Well, I'm not actually not. But I just feel that there's some people here who maybe have been squashed when they're at school by teachers, parents, and you've lost your identity. And you're not walking in your true identity. And I see so much potential in every one of you, but I feel some people aren't walking in their potential where God wants you to be. And as Wesley said, and I feel it very strongly, that you're never too old, you're never too young to walk in your potential. Okay? I feel that from God, I feel that very strongly. Because I want to see people walking in their potential, including myself, okay? So if you've been squashed, you know, you give it to God. You have to break that lie, because it's a lie. at the end of the day. It's what the enemy's told you you are, and you're not. And you have to break that lie. You have to, you know, you have to come before God and say, I break that lie. I don't agree with it.
Amen.
Because somewhere along the line, we've agreed with a lie.
Yeah.
So we have to break that agreement. So going back to Jabez, he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. And do you remember in Genesis 32:26, when Jacob wrestled with God, he said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. Mm. And Jacob settled for nothing less than his full inheritance. Mm. Okay, you've got a full inheritance. And sometimes in prayer we have to wrestle with God for things that are ours, things that belong to us, and that's not a selfish prayer. Mm. God wants us to ask for things that are ours.
I agree.
Mm. And Jabez looked to God for his spiritual sustenance. We're rich because God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And blessing in the Bible sense means to ask for or to impart spiritual favour to empower us to prosper in life. Jabez was blessed simply because he refused to let any obstacle, person, or opinion loom larger than God's nature. And God's nature is to bless. Mm-hmm. So we need to be more bold in our praying, in asking God to bless us. That's not selfish. Doesn't matter where we are in life, we need to see but it's God's will to bless us, and it's our spiritual inheritance. And God's blessing overcomes the labels that have been put on our lives, or we've put on our lives, and our pain. And then Jabez says, and enlarge my territory, my border. In other words, enlarge my life, so I can make a greater impact for God. Take me out of my comfort zone. Mm. Do you like that? We need God to expand our opportunities and impact in such a way that we touch more lives for his glory.
Come on.
He has a plan and he has a destiny for each one of you. And he wants you to fulfill it.
Amen.
He doesn't want us held back by all these lies. But we're his sons and his daughters. We're not limited to our natural upbringing. So we restrict ourselves and we need to move our boundary lines and take new territory for him.
Amen.
We think we're assigned to a territory by our background, by our experience, our training, our money, our personality, our appearance, our past, family reputation, expectations of others, things people have said about us. We're more comfortable with the familiar, but we need to come out of that. Jabez could have been locked in by his name and what it meant. But he called out to God for things to change.
Come on.
It says in Psalm 18:19, he brought me out into a broad place. You know, sometimes when we put labels on ourselves or other people put them on us, we say, that's how I am. You know, I'm not going to change. That's my lot in life. No. It is not your lot in life.
Come on.
Okay? These labels are not your lot in life.
Come on. Come on.
God wants to bless us. Then he says that your hand would be with me. We can't do anything on our own. We need to be totally dependent on God. And the hand of God is a term for God's power and presence in the lives of his people in Acts 11:21. Let's just read that one. It says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And that was the reason for their success in Acts, because God's hand was with them. Mm-hmm. The hand of the Lord was with them. So we see tremendous results, just like they did, when we ask for the hand of the Lord to be with us. We need him. Mm. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to get results. It comes from God's hand. Jabez didn't begin his prayer with that your hand will be with him. But when his boundaries got moved out, he knew God's hand was with him. Mm. He could have turned back, or he could have tried to keep going in his own strength, but instead he prayed. And we need God's supernatural power we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't do it otherwise. No bounds. People will be drawn. This church is going to be a church with people in it full of the Holy Spirit,
come on,
I believe.
Come on.
And that's how you're going to see many people come.
Come on.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. We'll take that.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what your background is. Mm. God can accomplish much through us if we're yielded to him with his Holy Spirit.
Come on.
And then he said that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. He asked to be set free from his name, his identity. It contained him. It's a containment. Jabez didn't want to live up to his name in causing pain by giving in to evil. So he asked God to keep him from evil. And as God blesses us and enlarges us and fills us with his Spirit, we can never assume that we can do things without him. Mm. We need to depend on him more. Yeah. The devil will try and distract us and bring opposition as we pray these things and walk in them. Mm. So we must keep calling out to God, as Jabez did.
Yeah.
Mm. Apart from God, we can do nothing. Mm. Apart from him, we can do nothing.
Mm.
So we need to pray that God will put up a supernatural barrier from temptation. When we yield to temptation, it can bring us pain, and also to those around us.
Mm.
Jabez knew he couldn't make it on his own. He wanted to walk with God, which made him honourable. And you know, God granted Jabez his request.
Mm.
And God wants to grant it to you. As you pray these sort of prayers, God will grant you your requests. He wants us to ask so he can show us what he can do through us. It's a bit scary, but it's exciting. God doesn't want us to be restricted by past pain. Jabez prayed himself out of it. There is power in prayer to break free from the pain and wrong thinking that restricts us. Jabez could have wallowed in pity and given in to what his name meant, but he didn't. Instead, he prayed.
Come on. Come
That's
on.
What the answer is, to pray.
Come on.
Call out to God. Cry out to God. You know, there is so much potential in this room.
Amen.
So much. And we need to repent as well for believing that lie about ourselves.
Yes.
If you're not seeing yourself as God sees you, then you need to repent because you're believing a lie somewhere. Either we've done it or someone else has. So we need to forgive the person, and we need to forgive ourselves actually for believing that lie. And then we need to break agreement, as I've said, with these lies, with these labels. And ask the Father what he thinks about you. Ask him, he'll tell you. And then see if it lines up with what you think about yourself. Because I guarantee it won't. There'll be areas. But he will tell you. He will tell you. And it's not a selfish thing.
Come on.
We need to see what he thinks about ourselves. We need to. And then we can walk in it. God calls us his friends. He calls us his beloved.
Come on.
He calls us his workmanship.
Awesome. Yeah, come on, let's pray. Let's take a few minutes to pray, and then we'll have a break, yeah? Right, come on. Come on, come on, come on. So, what are the labels on your life? Yeah, you might want to walk around. You might want to shake them off. Come on. What's holding you? What is it? Let's ask the Lord. Lord, what's holding you? What's holding you, Lord? Is it family, what they said about you? Is it what they said about you at school? Is it words that are shaping you? Is it what someone said? Was it your school reports or the things that happened in a job? What's holding you today? Shake it off. Come on. Jesus has got a different word over you. Jesus has a different word. Is it where you grew up? Was there a slur on that place? Was there something about it? Oh, he's from so and so. Shake it off, because it's a lie. It's a lie. He wants to set you free today. Maybe it's something you've done. I don't know. Maybe you had an affair. Maybe you went bankrupt. Maybe, I don't know, you tried to grow in ministry and it all went wrong. Maybe you tried to do something you thought was significant and it fell flat on its face. Shake it off today. You are not those things. Don't let them define you. Don't let them frame you. Don't let them hold you back today. Just say, I am not. And tell him what it is. Those labels that are on me, I am not. I am not. I keep hearing the word failure. Somebody's got to say to themselves, I am not a failure. Because in your heart you've believed it. I am not insignificant. You will always be. No, you won't always be. Some of you have got that. And so we've got to begin to forgive the people, like Sharon said, that have put the false identities on us. Who was it? Who was it? Might have even been a pastor. Might have been a church leader. Might have been a house group leader. Who was it? Might have been a teacher. Often, unfortunately, is. Teachers do a lot of good, but a lot of people get wounded. Might have been a sibling. Sometimes actions give us an identity because we've been traumatized in some way and we believe the lies that came in that moment. I'm a victim. If you believe you're a victim this afternoon, let's break that.
Come on.
God wants you to believe you're a victor, not a victim. What is my identity? Who has Jesus called me to be? Lord, I forgive and tell him who it is that has put that on you. They didn't know what they were doing, and I forgive them. Jesus, you died so I could be free. So I receive back from you what the devil stole. My identity. My destiny. My inheritance. Can you do that? Can you ask him? Like Jabez, some of it is in the names. Names you've been called. Either joking names or mocking names. You know, you may have been called names on a sports field at school or in the gym or in a classroom. Useless butterfingers. I don't know what they say, but names that define you. Because these are pronouncements over us. And they act as curses. Blessing and cursing are in the power of your tongue. If you start to speak over yourself or over someone else, blessing, they start to get blessed. If you start to speak cursing, they start to get cursed. Because you have something in your ability to speak that only people and God can do. It's part of our divine image. Lord. Lord. Break the false identity of me. Break the false names of me. The names I was called that I shouldn't have been called. Might not have been like names like we call someone names. It might be someone gave you a pet name or a something else. They called you something different, but it wasn't godly. I mean, you might have had someone that's called you, ah, you're my evangelist. Great, go for it. But they might have called you something else. And that name frames you. And it's got to come off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we forgive those people. We forgive ourselves where we've taken it on board. We don't want it. We don't want it, Lord. We forgive. We forgive ourselves, Father, for agreeing with it. Take it off, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Break the power, Lord, of every negative pronouncement. Break the power, Lord, of words spoken. Remind us of things we've forgotten. And if you're thinking of a negative thing, this is what I want you to do. I break agreement with. And you can't think this. You can't think breaking agreement. You have to speak breaking agreement. Okay, some of us think too many of our prayers. And the reason they're not as powerful as they need to be is because you have to talk them. Okay? Because it's your words. The sword of the Spirit is the word, not the thought. And so you've got to take those words and put them in your mouth. Jesus has a double-edged sword in his mouth, not in his head. And so we have to speak. And I want to encourage you to learn to speak the things of God. And so in a response time like this, we have to talk. Even if it's quietly, the words have to come out of your mouth. I break agreement with. What is it? What's that false identity? Tell him. I break agreement with the belief that I am. Tell him. I reject that. It comes off my life. It leaves me now. Jesus takes it away. And I receive what God says about me as my true identity. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Reinforce it in my life. And some of you, this needs to be reinforced every day, maybe many times a day. Because what's happened over your life is that fake identity has been spoken over you loads of times, or you've spoken it over yourself loads of times. And so each time reinforces it. And now you've got to reinforce the truth by keeping on with it. So every day, I declare my identity is. And do something if you need to. Write it on your mirror. Look in the mirror and say, you are. And read off what you've written. Do something that will change this. Will reinforce it inside you. Peter had to change his belief system to go with being Peter the Rock. Abraham had to change his belief system to go in with the father of many nations. When he didn't even have a child. Abram, he was called Abram, exalted father. He didn't have kids. And then God says, I'm going to change it. I'm going to up it a notch. You're going to be a father of many nations. And he still doesn't have any kids. And he has to go around. And they say, who are you? I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. And they say, show me your family. And he can't, but he keeps declaring the truth. He keeps declaring his identity. And in the end, it happens. Oh, we have to do this. We reinforce the truth. Lord, in the name of Jesus, come and establish this truth. God calls things that are not as though they were. It's how he does it. Lord, help us in this. We need Holy Spirit anointing. We need Holy Spirit help. But we pray the prayer of Jabez today. Oh, that you will bless me. Yeah? Enlarge my territory. What else is it? That I won't cause pain. I know that bit. That your hand will be with me. Yeah, in Jesus' name. You can pray Jabez's prayer. You could pray this every day. Every morning and every evening. I tell you what, if you did that for a year, you would, your life would radically change. Radically change. You see, God's given us nuggets in the Word, and most of the time we do nothing with them. We read them once for a sermon. But he's given you tools that can change the world.
Yes.
But most of the time we don't pick the tools up. Jesus, enlarge me. Change my territory. Enlarge what happens in my life. not for my fame, but for your glory. God, don't let me be a person that causes suffering to others. Don't let me be a Jabez. Let me be a person that brings blessing. Let me be a person that sets people free from their pain. You can take it. You can make it. You can make it yours. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come and do it, Lord. Come and do it in the name of Jesus.